And with me in the KRVS studio is another Louisiana writer. Margaret Simon is with me here. She is having a book signing this Saturday for her first book, a novel, a young people's novel called Blessin. And the word is already around, Margaret, when I said you were coming this afternoon for an interview, the student receptionist went, the woman who wrote Blessin? It's out there.
That's nice to know.
So word is around. The book is called Blessin. It is your first book. There will be a book signing. All are invited this Saturday, St. Street Inn. It will be from 4 until 6 o'clock.
Yes.
So everyone can go. You'll have copies there.
Absolutely.
And people can get it signed. Will you be doing a reading on Saturday as well?
I don't think there's a plan for a reading.
Yeah. All right. But if there's a spontaneous request
for
it. Well, we'll have you read something in a little while. And what was interesting as we were waiting and listening to Daryl's section from the Poet's Bookshelf, you reminded me that he did one of the blurbs for your book. And
yes,
it is a lovely description of your book. And you can tell he's quite taken by
the
book.
He is one of my mentors and a good friend. Very
Absolutely.
Generous with his teaching and advice about writing.
Mm. Well, we're going to get to talking a bit about the book itself, Blessin, the character, and just the story and what a very unusual story it is. But let's talk a bit about your development as a writer. I know you mentioned that Daryl's a mentor. So many
Yes.
people are involved in our process in writing. How did you first start writing, and what kinds of things did you write? Was it a diary? Was it a poem? Was it?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because recently I did find a diary that I wrote when I was 14 years old, and at the bottom of one of the pages, actually underneath a pretty pitiful poem that was written in a teenage voice, it said, "I would like to be a writer if only I had the courage."
At 14,
at
you
14.
Were already having that urge, that desire.
Yeah. And what I like to tell the kids, the students that I teach, it sometimes takes a long time. You can have a dream, you know, really for a long time before it ever comes to fruition.
Well, tell us about that image. When you said, I want to be a writer, what were you imagining? What did you think that meant?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, some of your favorite writers that when you're that age, mm-hmm. Judy Blume wrote this book, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And I felt it was me, you know, because
she was speaking right to you.
She was speaking right to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so that relationship that I had with authors as I was growing up and, you know, reading, and it feels special, and I wanted that. I wanted to have that feeling.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Judy Blume, because your book Blessin is being described as a young reader's novel, and
yes.
she obviously is, you know, the paradigm of mm-hmm. the young reader's novel.
So
many people growing up and inspired by her
Absolutely.
And her work. Any others that you can remember from that time that you read?
Well, my most recent—I have some recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
Kate DiCamillo is one of my favorites, and I've been sharing her work with my students, and so I admire her greatly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I guess getting back to when you said you wanted to be a writer, and obviously so many great examples of writers of young people's novels. Did you have an image, though, of what that meant for you when you, I mean, was it like the photograph of Judy Blume on the back of her, or was there something, did you imagine yourself sitting at a desk, signing books? Was there any image that accompanied that?
I had no idea how much work it was.
Don't say that.
I really didn't. I had no idea how much time it took. Mm-hmm. And dedication to the craft of writing. Mm-hmm. And it does take a long time.
Well, so when did you enter into that, the craft of writing? Not just saying, I want to be a writer, but actually beginning to practice and certain forms of writing.
Well, it's funny because you you kind of go through different stages. I think when I was a teenager, I loved writing poetry, but it was all in my diary, mm-hmm. and nobody ever saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And
you weren't publishing in the school newspaper yet?
No. In high school, I did do some publishing, but, you know, nothing major. And then I kind of left it behind as I went to college and got married and had children, and mm-hmm. you know, other things come in. And I don't think I ever left the writer behind, but she was not in the forefront.
Mm-hmm. But you were reading a lot still, and obviously with children.
Yes, and I was still writing, but I mm-hmm. wasn't. It wasn't the main focus of my life. But in 1995, I took the National Writing Project of Acadiana Writing Institute mm-hmm. With Ann Doby. And there, I think I first realized that I could be a writer, that could be something that I could do,
mm-hmm.
Along with my career as a teacher, you know.
Right. I do want to tell people that we're talking about your mentoring and your process, learning to be a writer. You are a teacher. You teach elementary school, a gifted elementary in Iberia
yes,
Parish.
I do. Uh-huh.
You have two schools, Caneview and Jefferson Island Road schools.
Yes.
And you share your time with those students.
Yes.
Now, the writing project, over the years, we've had various people in, Ann Doby, Daryl Bork, but remind our audience what that project is and what the purpose of it was.
The National Writing Project is a national project, and the premise of it is that teachers will teach other teachers. And it's based on writing, but the process of writing that we learn and we teach to other to our students can be taught with each other. We collaborate and we work together. It's not one person telling us how to do it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so to speak. And then also it nurtures your own writing. And from that experience, I joined a writing group, and I've, you know, faithfully meet with my writing group every few weeks or so, mm-hmm. and that's just it's like a support group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And what was that moment when you realized that this was something that you wanted to pursue seriously? What was it about? Do you remember that feeling about writing, or just being in that writing project? Because all of us, we have experiences that could be written about, but to actually go to that next step where you think, I'm going to put it out there and let other people read it.
I really think it has to do with going back to the courage
mm-hmm.
statement,
mm-hmm.
Having really good mentors and having a close-knit writing group and having people, surrounding myself with people who also write, and we share our writing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sharing of it has become so important to me. I started writing a blog a few years ago. So it's, you know, the sharing factor, I think, is what really made me want to be more of a published writer,
right.
I guess
you know, that National Writing Project, I have heard from many other people that it has given them the courage to do many things.
It does.
You know,
yeah.
that
it,
not only the quality and the dedication of the people who are running it, but the teachers themselves have grown and matured so much in that group.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's spread beyond just Acadiana. Mm-hmm. I've gotten involved with the National Writing Project and with some people more on the national level, and mm-hmm. that has been very valuable.
Mm. I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guest is Margaret Simon. Her book, Blessin, her first novel, a young reader's novel, has just been published. She has a book signing scheduled this Saturday, August 25th, in Lafayette at the St. Street Inn from 4 until 6 o'clock. So you can get copies there and meet Margaret, and she can sign your
book.
Have
some slushies and snacks.
Along with the novel. Well, after you joined the support group and you had the courage to begin writing, sharing your writing, how did your ideas about what you wanted to write about develop?
That's an interesting story, because I guess I'm a workshop junkie. I just, you know, any kind of workshop on writing I would sign up for. And I knew Sharon Doucet personally, and I also knew her work. And she had a writing workshop in the summer of 2009 on fiction writing. I had always just written poetry. I mm-hmm. was not even really considering writing fiction. But on my way to that workshop, I rode Highway 31 from New Iberia up to Arneville, where she was holding the workshop, and it just was coming. You know, I was seeing things about Blessin's life, and I sort of in my head was writing the first chapter.
Describe that highway just a little bit. What do you go through?
Oh my gosh, it's along the bayou, along the Bayou Teche, and beautiful draping oak trees, and there was also a past True Friend Road. True Friend Road happens to become the road where she lives, because I just love the name. There also was a home with two rows of crepe myrtle trees in full blossom, and so her grandfather in the book, you know, has the two rows of crepe myrtle trees that he trims from his wheelchair. So, you know, little details like that, just from the vivid images of the scenery here, the landscape, just became very much a part of what I was writing.
And that's what you often hear, you know, write what you know, write what you see, at least start with that.
Yeah.
It sounds like Highway 30-01 was kind of your cloister walk.
There it was, that,
Just going back and forth and seeing those images over and over again. So your idea in this workshop that you could be a fiction writer began to develop.
It did, it did. And I started the story then and built it for a little while, but then I tell you what, that's the writer's block is real. You know, I came to a point that I really didn't know where she needed to go.
We had all these images and these beautiful names like True Friend and
absolutely, but I just didn't know where she was going. And then I talk about support group. I talked to a friend of mine and I said, well, this is what's happening, but I'm not sure where I need to go with it. She made a few suggestions that just clicked, and that was it.
Floodgates opened.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say flood. It still took a while. That was
a steady trickle.
The process was going for a few years, but but it was quite a fun process. I have to say, I enjoyed that part. But this part, I'm enjoying a great deal as well.
That book is sitting in front of you.
In my hand.
Well, without giving away the plot, tell us about the book. What is it about? You described some images you had.
Yeah.
Blessin is the name of a little girl.
Blessin is the name of a little girl. Mm-hmm. She's a 10-year-old living in St. Martinville. She's living with her mother and her grandfather. And her grandfather's an invalid. And we find out that he was injured in an accident when a water oak went through his home during one of the hurricanes. The hurricane's not named, but we can assume it might be Katrina or Rita, whatever. And they're living in this FEMA trailer. But her mother and her grandfather are both white, and she is not. And so she figures out, kind of through the course of the book, that she is a biracial child and that her father was a black man. And eventually comes to meet her paternal grandmother and her father. So it's quite a process of discovery and lots of little lessons along the way.
As you were writing, did you pass this story in front of young people, students, or... We're calling it a young reader's novel, although you've said so many adults have been reading this. Or did you just have a sense of surety about how young people would respond to the story?
I do have a lot of experience with young people. I've been teaching them for 26 years and raised three of my own. And I do read a lot of young readers' books because I'm attracted to that. I like that genre a lot. But I can't say, I don't think I had...
You didn't have any test groups.
I didn't have the courage to let the kids on that I was writing a book. Mm. It was a private... I mean, I told my writing friends, but even my own children didn't know. So, it was very private for me until I felt it was ready. And then when she was ready, and now that she's out there, I have to take
that next step.
Yeah, and I am letting on with my students about my writing, and they're getting to read. I'm starting the sequel. So I have I've gotten some of their feedback
their
on
responses.
That. So that's been fun. Mm. That's been really fun.
Well, just looking at the responses from adults that I've read, it's pretty amazing. We mentioned Daryl Bork, who was one of your mentors with the Writing Project and writing workshops. His is just a lovely comment about your book. And he uses some interesting words about Blessin, talks a lot about it being in the borderlands and her being a border being. It's such an interesting way to put that.
It is a very interesting way to put that.
And to describe what you were just saying, saddling two different worlds.
Right, right. Yeah. And I it's interesting because I see a number of students every day, you know, coming in and out of these the schools, and there are quite a few of them in, you know, similar circumstances where there may be one parent or there's an absent parent, or they're in the process of figuring out who they are. Some of them living with foster families or adoptive families, and it's a pretty common situation.
Children living in the borderlands.
Yes.
That's a lovely description of it. In addition to Daryl's accolades, also Sharon Ducey, who is the author of Fiddle Fever and ran the workshop that you took, loved the book. And Ann Dobie, who was a professor of English here at UL and also ran the Writing Project for so many years.
Yes.
Just lovely accolades for this book. If you are just tuning in right now, and we have a lot of parents and teachers right now getting off of school and a lot of students listening as well, my guest is Margaret Simon. She is a teacher in the Gifted Program in elementary schools in Iberia Parish and has just published her first novel. I hesitate to even say young reader's novel because so many adults are responding to it as well. It's called Blessin', and it's out now. She'll have a book signing this Saturday here in Lafayette at the St. Street Inn, 4 to 6 o'clock. All are invited to come and take a look at the book, get copies, and Margaret can sign it as well.
Yes, yes.
Is there a small passage that you could perhaps read for us?
Yes, I would like to. I'll just read the first chapter.
That would be great.
It kind of gives you an introduction of to who she is.
All right, and again, this is from Blessin' by Margaret Simon, my guest.
Blue. Blue is cackling something awful this morning. That's how she tells me she laid an egg. I flip-flop down the concrete steps from the trailer back door, jingling the matching gold bracelets full set of three that I got yesterday at the Family Dollar. I'm sure Blue can hear me coming, and I call out to her. Blue? Bluey? My voice rises to a high pitch. She knows it's me. B-b-b-bock? She starts her cackling again. Mama says she cackles when she's cursing. She says if laying eggs is anything like giving birth, then Blue is cursing out loud. I say she is rejoicing. I walk toward the coop. I'm still small enough to be able to walk in and stand. I push the straw under my big feathery hen, and sure enough, I find a small tan egg under her thick breast. I hold the egg up to her close so she can see the fruit of her labor. She smiles at me her chicken smile, cocks her head, and gurgles proud. Blue has been my chicken ever since the New Iberia Sugarcane Festival last fall. She was my first place prize for 4th and 5th grade Division 4-H. I grew the sweetest sugarcane right in my own backyard. The judges told me my new hen was called a Blue Cochin, but I just call her Blue for short. It was love at first sight, I must say. She knows my heart. She knows when I'm happy and when I'm sad. I know she's wise because she's what they call a thoroughbred hen. Mama's in a foul mood today, I tell Blue in confidence. She told me I had no business wearing this tiny tee. She says I outgrew it last summer. Why was I keeping it around? I told her it was my favorite, and it is, even though it shows my belly button. I kind of like being able to see my belly button. It's a fine belly, don't you think? Blue just nods her head at me, agreeing. Blessin', you come back in here and finish this mess of a breakfast you made. What you thinking putting sugar all over your buttered toast? You made a mess in here. Your teeth are going to rot out for sure. Mama calls out from the back window. I pull Blue out of her roosting spot, cuddle her close like I'm holding a precious baby, and smile into her beady black eyes. How do my teeth look to you? I show all my pure white teeth in a wide grin. I don't think Mama knows what she's yapping about. Blessin' is the name Mama gave me when I was born. It's not a nickname like some people think. It's from the Bible, Genesis. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Mama changed the spelling because I am special. Blessin' LaFleur, that's me.
Lovely. I want to stay around for chapter two. My guest, Margaret Simon, reading from her book, Blessin', which has just been published. Her first novel, being called a young reader's novel, but obviously something that so many people are responding to. Available now. I'm sure there's some people who may not be able to go to the book signing, and they'll want to know where they can get the book.
Well, it is also available on Amazon, and that's an easy way to get it. I do have it at Books Along the Tesh in New Iberia.
Okay. So ask around, look around, and you can find Blessin'. A great blessing. I'm sure that you've finished this book, that you have it in hand. And as you mentioned, you are working on a sequel.
Yes, so. Her voice has not left me yet.
All right. So those people who fall in love with Blessin' know that there's more to come. Margaret, thank you so much for coming to talk with us. And again, there is a book signing this Saturday from 4 to 6 o'clock at the St. Street Inn in Lafayette. All are invited. It's open to everyone.
Thank
and you,
you
can get your own copy of Blessin'. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Thank you.